The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I'm doing really good. After all this time, I think I finally figured out which characters were the freaks and which were the geeks. I know it was up for debate for a really long time, but I think I finally figured it out.
Yeah.
And Daniel was a geek the entire
time. He was
time.
A geek the whole time.
Wow. Who would have thought? No, but it's really cool to have finished another series with you. Of course, this is an abbreviated series. We only got one season of this little masterpiece, but I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed talking to you about it. I really enjoyed having our guests on. So I think it's been a really good success. And also, I think it's a good showing of, like, you know, in the future, maybe there's other little one-offs that we can do.
I was going to say the same thing. Like, it feels to me like proof of concept, like that doing a random one season of a show from the 90s that didn't either. Like, I could even see us doing a two season show depending on what the show was and like how we covered it and blah, blah, blah. But certainly I feel like this is proof of concept that this works for us and is super enjoyable. Obviously, most of the credit of that regard goes to the show just being like a really, really solid show and something that we both feel like should have, of course, gotten a second season. But I really enjoyed talking about it and I enjoyed having the guests on that we had because I felt like most of them were super passionate about the show and like, you know, have watched it a few times. You know, it's just such an easy show. I could easily see this as a show that you just like put on in the background, you know?
Totally. And I think that a lot of people that we've heard from have seen it multiple times. They're on their third rewatch. They're on their fourth rewatch. It's just one of those things that you can totally just sweep right through and put it on in the background and enjoy it. Like I think that there's a possibility that I would watch this again, but you know, we're pretty busy with Felicity these days.
Yes, yes. And of course, Winnovember. And then, of course, the upcoming holiday as well. Who's not busy during the holidays? I don't know a single person who's just like, nothing to do here. No, we're all very busy. But of course, we wanted to have one more podcast just to kind of wrap up our thoughts. We're going to talk through like some of the characters, how we felt like their story arcs were, where they got left off, maybe some ideas of like what we think they went on to do. And if there was a second season, what we think maybe some of the storylines could have been. Talk through some of our like favorite episodes, least favorite episodes. Talk through our favorite characters, least favorite characters, that sort of thing. And then we'll leave it there for Freaks and Geeks. And like we've said, if anybody has any ideas on one season long shows, even two seasons, if they're short seasons, of shows that you want us to cover, we've talked about, like we've mentioned Undeclared before. Even if I will throw this out there. If it's something that you can tangentially trace back to the 90s, right? Like if there's a reason we should be covering it, right? Let's say like Katie Holmes is in it, Joshua Jackson is in it, right? There's some sort of tie to some other show we've done, something like that. Pitch it to us. It's possible we might eventually cover it. Cause I really like this as a general way of covering a show that's pretty short. You know, it only takes us a few months. It's not really a huge commitment like a Dawson's Creek, a Boy Meets World, a Felicity is.
Yeah. Yeah. Why? What are you like a commitophobe or something?
No, but we've committed to a lot of things. Like, I feel like we should have some low commitments. I'm concerned. Well. Oh, this is our breakup right now. We just started Felicity, but I'm already ending it. But I can't end it for another like 3 years. So
I don't know. I feel like you're not a commitment girly. I feel like you're trying to break it off because it's getting serious.
It's getting so serious. Three and a half years in, it's just now getting serious.
So serious. Very, very serious. Mm-hmm. Why don't we talk about some of our characters here on the Freaks and the Geeks and their life on this show. We got to start with Miss Lindsay Weir herself, played by Linda Cardellini. I think that we both were going into this show knowing of Linda Cardellini and a little bit of what she's done in recent times. But in terms of Lindsay, she was really interesting because I feel as though we didn't really get to fully explore the hardships that she was going through. We saw her coming into school this year, just surviving a traumatic incident of witnessing her grandma pass, not wanting to be a mathlete anymore, not wanting to be a geek anymore, a goody two shoes like with Millie. And she takes a liking to Daniel DeSario and wants to become a quote unquote freak, and then trying to navigate that life of, you know, a more alternative lifestyle. Of course, she has her little fling with Nick, which is kind of a disaster. And then also, I think that by the end, she kind of realizes that she can be a freak or somebody that's more alternative while still being intelligent, and being smart is cool. Now, where we see her leave off is she goes, fuck you. I don't want to go to the academic summit. That sounds boring. I instead want to go to the Grateful Dead concert. And
yeah, I want to be a deadhead.
Her leave off. And of course, I have like a ton of questions. Like, what are the repercussions of blowing off the academic summit? Is her parents going to ground her for the rest of time? And ultimately, like, what happens if you spend a summer being a deadhead? I don't know.
Yeah, I think what, because I love Lindsay as a character, I like the impetus for this story being she has a little bit of an existential crisis when her grandmother dies and she realizes, like, is there anything on the other side of my mortal form? But what I wish was explored a little bit more with Lindsay, and again, we lose the opportunity without getting a second season to explore this, is a little bit of how her grandmother's death truly affected her. I feel like we're seeing a lot of the external things, like her in school and becoming a freak and all of that. But internally, I feel like we could have seen a little bit more. I wish we had gotten a little bit more of conversation, maybe between her and her mom, or her and her dad, or her and her brother, right? Like anybody else, about the death of her grandmother. Maybe one of the other freaks has a death in the family, and that's how they connect with Lindsay. You know, like, I feel like there's an opportunity there that was a little missed. Because I love the idea of the reason for Lindsay wanting to be a freak. I just wish we explored the internal emotions she was having a little bit more.
Right.
But again, we only got one season and they serviced so many characters in this show. So it's hard to like pick the nits when we got so much from so many characters.
True.
But Lindsay being like our main girl, you know, I wish we'd gotten that from her, but I'm with you. I feel like it'll be fun in talking through these characters. Maybe this is the point where we can kind of also make some predictions for like what would have happened if we had gotten a season two. Like, so Lindsay is off being a deadhead with Kim and some two randos from school. She's supposed to be at the academic summit. I feel like the Weirs go to surprise her with a visit or something.
Oh yeah. I could see that.
And that's how they realize she's not there. And I don't know, do you think Lindsay thrives being a deadhead? Like, do you think she enjoys doing that? Or do you think she like halfway through like freaks out and wants to go home?
So I watched a lot of interviews and the Paley Festival panel with the Freaks and Geeks cast, but also the Undeclared cast. And what Judd Apatow and Paul Feig said is that they believe that Lindsay would have gotten like addicted to like LSD or something.
Oh my God. Back,
like a super stoner or something. I don't really think that's canon. Like, I don't really like go down that path. I think that would be kind of more interesting if she at first was having a great time, and then of course, like all vacations, by like day 14, you're like, get me the fuck out of here. Like, yeah. I need to go home. I mean, I think that there needs to be some repercussions about being like ditching a commitment and lying to your parents. I don't think like seeing her be grounded for the whole next season would be interesting. But maybe like she realizes that the freaks really aren't her people, and like she's more of a deadhead or more of a free spirit. That could be definitely interesting. I do like the fact that she could be a person that like bounces around from group to group. I think that that's really interesting. Obviously, I would want to focus on in a season two onward in her mental health and trying to figure out like what's going on with her grandma and like that mourning. But I think like if I had to guess like what Lindsay's doing today, I think she's like not a guidance counselor, but like that cool professor that like has like long brown hair and like tells stories and is like kind of more of like a chill person, kind of like in a way taking after Mr. Russo. Is that his name?
Rosso, yeah.
Rosso. And kind of just doing, being like more of like a free spirit. Like I can see her being a political science professor, like talking about politics or like history or different protests. Like I can definitely see Lindsay getting into activism.
Yeah, I was of a similar mind of view as you, as like if she does this whole deadhead thing and she enjoys it, I could see her traveling a lot and almost being like a travel journalist or something like that, or like even like a political journalist where she goes like on location. I had a very similar mindset, especially when she's like, oh, I'm a Democrat and I'm going to stand up for like this, this, and that. I could see her kind of pursuing that and eventually writing a book of some sort. I would see her in her older age, maybe settling down and becoming a professor after she's kind of had this like whirlwind of a yeah. Life or something, or doing talks, right? I feel like she's very good at speaking in front of people when she builds that confidence, which obviously yeah. She's a teenager, so it's a little tough right now.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I don't see her like really settling down and having a family like her mom. Like, I feel as though she wants to really be anything but that. Like, maybe she would be adopt and be like a single mom or something. Like, I can see that sort of a thing, but like mm-hmm. definitely not being the sort of woman that makes dinner for her husband when he comes home from work.
Definitely. Yeah. So let's stay in the Weir family and let's talk about Sam. He's such an endearing character. And it's partly because John Francis Daly is like actually the age of the character he's portraying. And he has this like just a small frame. You know, he's so small and like cute for like a freshman. I really like the whirlwind romance with Cindy, and I love that it doesn't work out. And I love that it doesn't work out before the finale. So this isn't something we're worried about going into a season two. Yeah. I feel like they could easily bring back, and I apologize because I don't remember her name. It wasn't Vicky. Who was the other girl who was like friends with all the geeks for like a hot minute? Is it like Catherine or something? I could see her coming back and like them dating or something in season two. I could see him still always being friends with Bill and Neil, but maybe there's strife, like Neil and Sam like the same girl. I could see that happening.
Yeah, totally.
And I could even see if Sam dates and it actually works out, this other girl, which I'm so sorry, I can't remember her name. If he dates her and it works out, maybe there is a more strife between like, oh, Sam is becoming a cool kid now. Like, he's not as much of a geek as he used to be. And as for like his future prospects, gosh, maybe he becomes like an engineer or something like that. Like maybe something in the science field. But unlike Lindsay, I see him settling down and wanting a family and all of that.
Yeah, I do too. So the name you're reaching for is Maureen, which she doesn't seem like a Maureen, but that's what she is. Yeah. I think that Sam, his storyline was pretty interesting because like, I think that we really get like the growing pains of being a young person going into high school and how scary that can be. Mm-hmm. I think that we struggle with bullying for Sam. And he always seems to like want to fight back, but ultimately it isn't until like he gets some clout when he dates Cindy that like the bullying stops, which like kind of sucks. But we see him in the last few episodes like really rejecting the geekdom that he is put into. So I can see him his sophomore year of high school really, really trying to lose that reputation. And I it's kind of funny because the actor that plays Sam, John Francis Daly, he's actually very, very tall. So it would have been like hilarious for him to like actually like jump up
in
height in a season or two. And he comes back from summer actually being as tall as he is and just like, because now like he's the tall one. We see Bill and he's like the tall one. And I think that ultimately Sam winds up being like as tall as Bill, if not taller.
Damn, he's 6 foot, John Francis Daly. Yeah,
he shot up. Like So I think like that would be kind of like a very funny sight gag of being like, whoa, like what happened to you over the summer? You ate your Wheaties type of thing.
Yeah.
And I can definitely see him like becoming the popular kid and leaving Neil and Bill behind and like how much that sucks, because I think that like that's very realistic. Like high school and school is so weird. Like one second you're friends with somebody and the next second they become popular and you never talk to them again. It's terrible, but it happens because kids are cruel. So, but I also think like Sam is like really kind. He was so endearing. Like I just wanted to like smush his little face the entire time and like mother him. And I really liked Sam. Like, I think that Sam is such a like cool, interesting character. And I would have been very much interested in seeing what he got up to next. And then, yeah, I can see him being some sort of engineer as an adult and having a family, maybe like marrying his high school or college sweetheart type of thing. Just something like wholesome.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. He feels like a wholesome sort of guy. Do we want to stay with the geeks and finish them off and talk about Neil and Bill? Because
yeah,
I think I feel like this the standout for me of the series, honestly, was Bill, in that I think he made me laugh the most. Like, he was just so funny. And I personally think that Bill is the character that accidentally becomes cool. And I say that because I think, you know, and it's not on purpose. He's not doing anything to try to be cool. I just think his nonchalance and a little bit of like lack of caring ends up being very cool. Maybe he stumbles onto a new fashion trend or something. Like, I just feel
That he just stumbles himself onto the basketball courts and becomes pretty cool guy. But like, it's kind of like he doesn't like it doesn't faze him. Like, he doesn't care about that type of stuff.
Yeah, we saw him play basketball. Yeah. I think maybe it would have to be something like golf. Like, I don't know that it can as intense. But
I definitely think that.
But I think Bill is like the guy in high school that after you graduate, you kind of sometimes wonder, like, I wonder what that guy got up to.
Yes.
He's not on social media.
Yes.
You cannot find him. He does something very weird to get very famous and then becomes a little bit of a recluse.
Like 1,010%. Like, I can totally see that. That is absolutely it. Like, we have no idea what Bill's doing right now, and he's impossible to find. Like, you can't Google him. It's just he's totally out in nowhere's land. And I think, like, yeah, like, he probably made like a lot of his money on like Bitcoin or whatever when it first started. And then he's in a like a glass house in the middle of the forest, and we never see him again.
Definitely 1,000%. Whereas Neil, I think season 2 definitely brings more strife within the geek friend group. And I think a lot of it is between Neil and Sam. And I think Bill gets kind of stuck in the middle because we saw shades of that.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like it would only get worse, especially if, let's pretend like Sam shoots up, right? Let's pretend, because we know the actor does that, the character does as well. And Neil is left as like the shorty in the crew.
Yeah. We do know that Sam Levine never grew like an inch after that.
And let's pretend, let's say Neil, I feel like Neil eventually gets himself a little geeky honey, and I feel like they make out everywhere and disgust everyone. Like, I truly think he's like, as soon as he gets a girlfriend, he will not stop talking about how much he's kissing her with his
friends. Yeah. I could totally see that. And I think that I do think that Neil with – like Sam and Bill, like in the separation, I can see Neil being like the king of the nerds and like loving being in that power position. I can see him go on to be like a mathlete or something. Maybe not. I don't know. I totally think that he winds up like becoming like a freaking like carnival cruise magician with his Yeah, with his stupid
I'm going to disagree and say – oh, that's terrible. I'm going to say his family really pushes him, and he either like follows in the footsteps of his father and becomes a dentist.
Yeah.
Or becomes like, I don't know, like a lawyer or something.
Oh my God.
Very prestigious. I feel like he needs some sort of a doctor something, or like, you know what I mean? Like a professional, like something MD. Like, I think he needs things on his name.
I don't know. Or he's like one of those pediatricians that uses puppets to distract the kids for that, like when they get their shots.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look at Mr. Stinky. And it's like, and then like pokes
look
him.
At Mr. Stinky.
Yeah. Like pokes him with the needle.
And he eventually marries his assistant, like his,
predatory.
No, not like
he has to be Jewish though.
No, not the assistant. I mean like when you're a doctor and you're working in close quarters with like that other person. He marries the person administering the shot.
Medical tech type of thing.
I don't know. Someone.
Sure. Okay. But she
another
has
doctor.
To be Jewish.
He marries another doctor.
Has to be Jewish. That's the thing.
Definitely. And I think eventually, I think he dates around and he's always like going for blondes, you know, just because society has told us like blondes are prettier. Yeah.
And then he
falls in love with a gorgeous Jewish woman who also worked at his practice.
Brown curly hair and a nose that is slightly on the large side.
You're only allowed to say that because you're Jewish, Sarah.
Sorry. I have a sizable nose as well.
Honestly, I kind of like a bigger nose. I feel like it's strong. Anyway, that's Nick and Bill. Neil and Bill, excuse me. Speaking of Nick, let's go to Nick next. Nick Antopoulos
gets arrested. Sorry. let's talk about his arc. I mean, I think the most interesting thing about Nick is the issues with his family, his father in particular, expectations to be like a manly man that goes to war like the rest of the family. I think that he probably can keep drumming, but like he probably shouldn't. But he doesn't have a future in music. I'm sorry. Like, let's be real. Let's be real.
Maybe I think he tries to make it work, I don't think I think I could see Nick owning like a record store.
A record store that maybe teaches drum
lessons or something. Because I could see he's very personable. He's very much a people person. So I could see him loving owning like some sort of a record store and like giving people advice on like what they should buy and being very knowledgeable about music because he is so obsessed with it. I could definitely see, I don't think he goes to college. Like, I don't think he does any of that. I think he kind of bums around for a while. And I think it takes him a while to find his calling, but I think he like works enough retail jobs to eventually maybe find a job at like a, whatever, maybe an FYE, if that
like
even exists.
Tower Records.
Yeah, in this time period.
I will say that I wouldn't be surprised if there were one or two no contact orders placed on him.
But can I say,
restraining orders?
How do you feel about this? Think Nick eventually, like, whether it's accidental or not, or this is like planned, I feel like he has a kid. And I think he like becomes a very doting father.
Yes. The best dad ever. Very different from
very
how
involved.
His father was
and
raised.
I could see him being like a girl dad. I don't know why that was.
Oh yeah. I can see that. Yeah. You know what? He is definitely he's a little bit too old for that. I can see him going to Woodstock 1999. And being like the one that's like a little bit too old for there, but also gets into like a major rager.
Yes.
He's also probably an iPad dad where he like gives his kid like an iPad.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like once he's old, he grumbles about the good old days.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much any old person, I guess. Yeah. That's Nick. Let's jump to do you want to talk through Daniel?
Yeah, Daniel's another character that I feel as though if we got more than one season, we could have seen a little bit more from him. You know, we start off the season where, like I said before, Lindsay definitely has feelings for Daniel. And strangely enough, it didn't really get explored that much. Once Lindsay became friends with Kim Kelly, she really like took her foot off the brake with trying to pursue Daniel. But I think there's a world where if we had more time, then we could have seen a Lindsay Daniel thing come into fruition. So we have that. We have Daniel's struggles with his intelligence and with schooling. And then we also see Daniel a little bit with his family life and that, like one or two of his parents are a bit absent in one way or another, whether it be health or just not being a mother that mothers. So I think Daniel's really interesting. Like, we gave him a very hard time in the majority of the series for being a dick, and he is a dick, but most high school boys that I know are dicks. So, you know, that's life, baby. That's showbiz, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately, like, I was so happy with how Daniel's story ended, right? Like, him playing D&D, him discovering Carlos, and just, like, having fun with the geeks. I think it would have been so interesting to see a season two where he then has to, like, figure out how to, like, combine his worlds, if he even pays attention to the geeks once they get back to school. Like, I'm very curious to see how they deal with that, because I don't think Daniel is very delicate with things, and I feel like people's feelings would certainly get hurt. Daniel is the character I struggle to see as much of a future for. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, exactly what he would do, and part of me thinks he would end up in the military. Part of me thinks he would struggle for a few years and then somehow end up in the military and really thrive there once he had structure to his day.
You know, I can totally see that, because I've heard that a lot for men in particular that do have issues with structure, and being in the military, it really gives them like a purpose. And also they're given a lot of opportunity once they leave the army, the military. Like, I think we've talked about
schooling and for everything.
Schooling, housing, yeah. Like, it really is, for as many cons, there are benefits for signing up for that sort of thing. But I can totally see that. I also can see him as a mechanic or like as a repairman. Like, I can see him really thriving in some sort of a trade. And I think that he's kind of just like, living a simpler life, you know, like all American, blue collar. But I do like the idea of him gaining some structure in the military in some capacity. I think that's an interesting thing to chew on.
Definitely. Yeah. As for Ken is the character where I feel like they didn't really explore him. Like, of all the freaks, we knew the least about Ken for the longest amount of time. Right. They eventually did give us some stuff, and I really enjoyed what they did give us, you know, with Tuba Girl. Like, I felt like that was a really sweet storyline, and we got to know a little bit about his family life. His parents are well off, so, like, I don't think he's going to struggle in the same way that maybe a Nick or a Daniel will once high school is over. I think he's probably pushed to go to college, but I feel like maybe he goes to like a community college or like a local state school or something and tries to find his footing. I feel like he makes really good friends in college, though. Similarly to the freaks, I feel like he adapts very well to his surroundings, and maybe he like, and maybe this is just because it's Seth Rogen and I'm thinking of the show Platonic, but like, what if he becomes like a brewery guy? Like, I feel like I could see that for him.
Yeah, I could totally see that for him.
He loves beer. We know that.
Yeah, like maybe like artisanal beer crafter.
Yeah.
I can totally see that. I mean, like, I kind of hope that him and Tuba Girl work out. Like, wouldn't it be interesting if he winds up being like, they wind up being like high school sweethearts and they like last for...
Or they reconnect, like they both go their separate ways after like through college and stuff, and then they just end up bumping into each other somehow.
I love that. Yeah, I think that Ken's story would have been explored more in a second season.
Yeah,
and I'm really glad that Seth Rogen was given an opportunity in Undeclared to play a character that is unlike any other character that I've seen him play. Now, a lot of the times you and I have spoken about, or Adam and I have spoken about since we cover Platonic, how Seth Rogen plays Seth Rogen, but the character that he played in Undeclared is really different.
Oh,
it's not like the typical stoner that he plays or like the edgy guy. Like, it's really interesting. I liked that character. Mm-hmm. And I also, you know, applaud like Seth Rogen's career, because I think that he like really got to like have the dream of being in movies, and like how, I don't know, like this show obviously like shot off his career, like really put him to stardom. But I don't know. Seth Rogen seems like he has a lot of fun.
I mean, for sure. I feel like he's having more fun than most people in their life, you know? Like, yeah, definitely.
He's definitely having more fun than me. That it just is seems like
he's always having a great time.
I mean, it's true. It's true. But yeah, I can see him do a brewery, or eventually maybe once it becomes legalized, like maybe he opens up his own weed store. I think that Seth Rogen actually has.
I would be the least shocked person ever to find that out.
I'm pretty sure actually that he has a store.
Honestly, I'd be surprised if he didn't. I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, because I'm pretty sure somebody, one of his coworkers, either undeclared coworkers, like cast members, either undeclared or Freaks and Geeks, like worked for him. I don't know. I'm trying to like figure it out. But anyway.
So let's finish out the freaks with Kim Kelly, because, you know, Kim, I think, had a little bit of a bumpy ride. We were all like, we came into the show wanting to love Kim Kelly because we love Busy Phillips from our time with Dawson's Creek. And so we already were like high on her. Right. And I feel like it was really tough to watch Kim Kelly be a bit of a bully in the very beginning. However, once we got to know her family and got to understand why she is the way she is and why she puts up such a like a wall around herself to like protect herself, it made a lot of sense. And I really enjoyed her and Lindsay together. I think I would like to see, if we had a season two, I would have loved to see their time together on the road and how they grew closer. I could see them coming back from that trip very, very tight as a duo. More than they were before they left. But I do think there's always going to be struggles between Kim and Lindsay, simply because I think Kim is always going to have a little bit of like the green-eyed monster, a little bit of envy for Lindsay and her family life and the money and everything she has that Kim doesn't. But gosh, when I try to imagine what Kim's future looks like, it's really tricky to me. I feel like she wants so badly to get out of town, you know, like, and I think she does, but maybe not in the way she wants to, if that makes sense. Like, I think she does make it out of town, but I don't know how. Like, what is a career that you see for Kim Kelly?
Well, so I think that, well, once again, I heard like a bit of what like Judd Apatow thought would happen to her in a season two, and that would be on her voyage, you know, over the summer, that she would get pregnant, which I don't really love.
Why is he doing this to the characters?
I don't know. That's what he said. I don't know what Judd Apatow is doing. But I could see her as a younger mother. I could see her doing something like basic in town, like waitressing for a while, and maybe she like finds something that she is passionate about and is able to make it out. Like, the thing is that people can have a really happy life, even if it's a simpler life, you know? So like, I don't know if I see her like making it big anywhere or anything like that, but I mean, the most that I can hope for her is that she is living in a home that she feels safe and loved. And I hope that she feels financially comfortable, that she doesn't have to stress from day to day. Like, she doesn't have to be a successful doctor or engineer, but like stability is my wish for Kim Kelly.
I'm thinking Kim strikes me as someone who takes a while to find their passion and to like have a passion about something. She strikes me as someone who like, at age like 30 or 40 or something, goes back to school and like finds a career she loves. It just takes her a minute. Mm-hmm. I think she stumbles for a while, but I think in that stumbling, she lives a very interesting life and something that like she'll look fondly back on, even though it may have been very difficult. I just think Kim has a very tough road ahead of her, just given her family life and given like her schooling and all of that. But I think if she can make it out of town, I do think she has like a great shot. I personally would hope for her that she wouldn't like get pregnant at like 16 or something, or 17, however old they are. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's probably most of the characters. Mr. and Mrs. Weir, they're already settled. They're they're there. I don't know that we need to concern
ourselves. I will say that, like, I really liked them as characters a lot more than I thought I was going to do from the pilot on. And I think that
Dawson's Creek, pay attention. This is how you write adult storylines on a kid drama. Totally.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think that they did the parents a lot better than Dawson's Creek and in turn made it a lot more interesting to watch them, where I didn't want to fast forward through their scenes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Love them, especially the dad. The dad always endeared me when he was like, you know what happened to them? They're dead.
Yeah, we didn't get that much more of that after the
but I'll always remember it fondly.
Yeah, yeah. But it was a funny bit, and I really liked them as characters.
Yeah, they were great.
And even both of them had their own episodes where they got to be showcased, which was really cool.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's turn our attention to maybe some of our, like, maybe we could talk through, like, our favorite character and our least favorite character, and then our favorite episode and least favorite episode or something like that. It's a little difficult, but do you want to go first? Do you have a favorite character right off the bat that sticks out for you?
Yeah, I think that, like, my favorite character of the mains, I think has to be Sam. Like, I don't know. Like, I just felt like I said, so endeared to him. Like, I just wanted to give him a hug. And I think that he had, like, a really interesting time throughout the show where he had a lot of wins and he had, like, a lot of, like, growing pain loses, and he got smacked in the reality of, like, the person that you expect people to be aren't always the pedestal that you put them on. And I think that he had, like, a really interesting evolution, and I always really enjoyed watching his journey.
Yeah. Sam is adorable, right? Like, he's so easy to root for throughout the series. I mean, I really do think my favorite is Bill. From him, like, having his moment alone, drinking beer from the tiny baseball hat, and, like, always wanting to talk about TV. He's just himself. And I love that about him. I love the, like, the scene of the boys making him eat gross things. Like, he just, I don't know. He's so sweet, and just his relationship with his mom, I really enjoyed seeing.
Yeah, that was a good episode. That was really interesting. I also enjoyed, like, the fact that, like, he got to make out with Vicky.
Yeah, exactly. So I really loved Bill. I didn't appreciate him as much on my very first watch, and now I absolutely adore him. And I honestly, as, like, a little honorable mention, Harold Weir, the dad, cracked me up so much. I mean, he's off, like, he says some awful stuff, but, like, he's just so funny. And as a father, like, he just cracks me up. Like, they're dead.
For me, my, like, sleeper honorable mention is Millie. Like, I came into the show being like, fucking Millie, like, what is Millie doing? She's so annoying. But, like, she was so funny, and it's just the actress and her inflections and how, and, like, I think that the actress herself was, like, very young and, like, a little naive. Like, I saw this clip from a table read that was so funny, because it was the episode in Kim Kelly Is My Friend, which, by the way, I don't know if we talked about this at the time, but that was banned on NBC. Like,
because what?
Yeah, that episode was banned because the subject material was too like serious all and like disturbing. And
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they're like chasing the car and everything. Yeah. And mm-hmm.
So yeah, so there was a scene where like Millie is like warning Lindsay not to hang out with Kim Kelly because she fornicates in the locker room or whatever. And the actress says like fornicates it. She's like, she fornicates it in the, she's like, Lindsay was like, what does she do? And she's like, yeah, she fornicates it. And it was so funny, like the slip, because she's so naive that they put it in the show. Mm-hmm. And I think like, it's just the actress herself. I think her name is Sarah something or other. I don't know. It's just like, yeah, I don't
Sarah
know.
Hagen.
Yeah. I really, really enjoyed watching Millie's evolution. And also like the fact that she had like a boyfriend from like Christian sleepaway camp and yeah, that she was like, I can't make out with him because I'll go to hell. And I like that she had like one day where she was rebellious and then she like went back to her normal way. But I really enjoyed her character and I always like laughed when I saw
yeah
her.
I wish we got a little more of her, especially her relationship with Lindsay. Like maybe it would have been cool to have a little bit like a flashback or something, but like I would hope that if we got a season two of the show, Millie would be a breakout of that season and just be like, I don't know, do something wild with Millie, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that would be really fun.
Yeah, hoe Millie down.
Yes.
Let's see her fornicate it.
So our favorite episodes. I feel like my two favorites actually we covered in one episode. My top two episodes for the whole series are Beers and Weirs and Tricks and Treats, which one is where they have the big house party and they think they're drunk, but the geeks had swapped out the beer for non-alcoholic beer. And then Tricks and Treats is the Halloween episode, obviously. I just feel like I really love an episode where all my characters are kind of in one location, and we get that with Beers and Weirs with the house party. I love Bill getting drunk on his own. And meanwhile, all the teenagers think they're getting drunk. It was like a very funny concept to me. And we get a really nice like Neil and Lindsay moment in that episode as well, where he helps her out by like calling the cops, pretending to be the neighbors. And Tricks and Treats, I love seeing everyone in costume. It's just, I love like Lindsay's going over the line and she's like smashing pumpkins and doing all these things. Like, I don't know. I really liked both of those episodes. What about you?
I think Kim Kelly is My Best Friend is one of my favorite episodes. I really enjoyed learning more about Kim, and it was like so dramatic mm-hmm. that I really enjoyed that. And then I think that like the garage door and dead dogs and gym teachers, I really liked the side stories of Bill and Neil. Mm-hmm. And I think that those were two where it kind of sticks out to me as being like interesting storylines. Like seeing Neil with the clicker was like so sad. Yeah. Trying to find like his mom cheat. And then that's also the episode where like Ken meets Tuba Girl. And I don't know, like there was like a lot of like interesting things happening there. And then Dead Dogs and Gym Teachers, like seeing Kim Kelly like feel horrible for Millie and like yell at Lindsay at the funeral yeah. for the dog about like repeating whatever Millie
said. She already said that.
And then of course like seeing Bill and his relationship with his mom and Coach Fredericks, that was really interesting to watch mm-hmm. too. So there's so many good episodes. I do like the two that you mentioned as well. I think that Beers and Weirs is kind of a favorite of amongst a lot of people. Yeah. And we do love a Halloween moment. So there's a lot of episodes that I could see myself loving and wanting to rewatch.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like
Oh, I also love Smooching and Mooching.
Yeah.
That was such a good episode.
Such a good one. The makeout party with the spin the bottle. If I had to pick one that was on the lower end for me, and I really liked most of these episodes. Like I felt most of them were very strong, But I wasn't as much of a fan of Noshing and Moshing, which is the episode where Daniel becomes like a punk guy and starts ventriloquism. I liked the party mostly because Mr. Weir is drunk and I thought that was very funny, but I hate the ventriloquist doll. And I wasn't a big fan of that Daniel storyline, him like with the hair and the, you know, all of that. I was like, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I didn't really like that as well. I don't know, Tess and Bress were like, that ended so strangely with like Lindsay outing Daniel and just like laughing in his face. And we're just like, what the fuck is going on here? Wasn't that happy. And then like the weird conversation that Sam had with Coach Fredericks behind closed doors where he's like explaining sex. And we're just like, this seems weird. Like what's going on here? So I think that I was less of a fan of Tess and Bress.
Yeah. All right. Those are our faves and least fave episodes. Do we want to quickly talk through some of what the astrological signs of some of these characters? Because I know we love to do this. So if you hate this, you can leave now and that's totally fine. But we love this. So.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start with Lindsay, like usual. I can see Lindsay being either like an air sign or a maybe even an earth sign. Do you have any takes?
Yeah, my mind originally went to air sign. I feel like again, if we're looking at her being like a journalist and being kind of like here and there and everywhere a little bit, then I think it's more Sagittarius, like the travel. But like, I just think she flits in. She kind of, I don't think she's like an Aquarius.
I think she's a Libra because she does have a lot of like morals, like right and wrong. And like, this doesn't feel good or not. She's a bit of a floater. She can get along with like anybody. She's a bit of a people person, but also a bit of a people pleaser. So I can see her being a bit of a Libra.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Definitely an air sign at the very least, I would say. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think her brother, Sam, he gives big Cancer man energy to me.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. I can definitely see that. Or
he's very like emotionally driven. He feels his feelings a lot. More of a homebody. He just feels, my dad is a Cancer. I feel like, I mean, not that they're that much alike, but like I feel those vibes with Sam.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I think that's like definitely a right call, or like maybe like a Taurus or something like that.
Warm and fuzzy for sure. I want to jump to Bill, because is Bill an Aquarius? Is he just like bobbing along to his own life?
Yeah, I can absolutely see Bill being an Aquarius. Like Aquariuses are kind of known as like the weirdos of the astrological world. Like they're kind of, you know, go down the beat of their own drum, like are kind of a little like flaky or airy, like kind of in their own world. Like I can totally see that, especially because like the person that makes Bill laugh the most is Bill.
Yeah, exactly. He's always laughing at his own jokes. Like, I'm sorry, but like playing movies in your mind and then laughing at them is very Aquarius.
Yeah, or if we want to say like he's a little bit more watery or sensitive than like a Pisces, like he's like a dreamer in that
sense. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think Neil is a fire sign, and I honestly think he might be an Aries.
I think he's a Leo.
Don't you dare.
Because he's just like really, he likes to be the center of attention. He's loud. He's outgoing. It's not like a bad thing.
He's not
thing.
As charming though as Leos are.
He thinks that he's charming. And like,
I don't think he's charming.
It doesn't matter. A Leo thinks that they're charming. Like, I know that you don't
want
to claim
him. I don't want
him
in my club.
All right. I mean, like, I'm just saying I can have an opinion. I'm a person that has an opinion. I think that he's a Leo.
I'm going to say he's an Aries, and that's where my brain is going to live forever.
Very fair.
I don't
very,
want
very
him in my
fair.
Club.
Okay. Whatever. Whatever, my love. Whatever you like in this world, it's yours.
I have a very strong vibe about Nick Andopoulos.
Is he a Pisces man?
That was my second option. My first option is a Scorpio man.
Oh, he's a Scorpio, I think. It's the possessiveness for me.
Yep. It's the, so sorry, Scorpios. So sorry. But like, he's watery, but in like an unpredictable way where you kind of don't know what he's going to do. And you're a little bit like, chill out, Nick, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. 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 Mm-hmm. But probably grain sack. So
probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like he at the very least is trying very hard.
Maybe he's trying a little bit too hard.
He's putting in all the effort.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like I can definitely see him being definitely a water sign, definitely a bit of a Scorpio. I can definitely see that.
Yeah. Where do we want to jump to next? What about Daniel? Give me your thoughts on Daniel.
Daniel. Like he's such a mystery. Which makes me want to say he's a Gemini because they're just like the mysteries to me. I can also see him being.
I don't think he's an Earth sign. Like immediately, no. I feel like I can rule that out.
No.
I don't really think he's a fire sign either. I don't think he really has the like passion of a fire sign.
Maybe he could be a Sagittarius, like a little, like, I'm thinking, like, or maybe an Aries because he's, like, kind of the leader of the group, like, a little quick to anger.
Yeah. I guess I think you're right, though. I do think he falls more into the, like, airy, like, Gemini sort of vibe. Because I'm trying to think water signs. Like, I don't really think he's a Scorpio. Mm-mm. I don't think he's a Pisces. He possibly could be because I think it's one of those things where he is emotional. He just like very masks it very well.
Right.
And he also like.
No, that makes me feel like he's an Aries because Aries are very emotional, but like they don't like show it in a way.
He shows it through like violence instead of.
Sure.
Yeah, I could see him being an Aries. Yeah.
Bit of a leader, bit of like, you know, follows his own. Rules.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Kim Kelly.
Kim Kelly gives me Taurus energy.
You think so?
She gives me stubborn energy.
She's very stubborn, but like, I think that like, I don't think she's like chill enough. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the alternative is like a Capricorn who's also stubborn. But is like headstrong. I don't know.
She
could also Scorpio be another woman? Aries. Scorpio woman. No, yeah. she doesn't give a shit. She's like a bull or a ram or a goat. She's got some horns to her. She's one of those.
Okay. There you go. That solves it.
Pick your horn.
And Ken is our last one.
Maybe Ken's a Taurus.
Taurus.
Yeah.
100%. He's the Taurus. You're right.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. That was the spot on pick. Yeah. He's definitely that's it. He's just a Taurus and that's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's what
you
are. So
we hope you enjoyed Astrology Hour. And if you didn't, that's okay. It's not for everyone, but it is for us.
Yeah. That's true.
Anything else we want to say about this show before we wrap things up?
I'm gonna miss it. I think that it was a good little thing. Like I think that I do think that if you want another show by Judd Apatow with some familiar faces, check out Undeclared. I'm currently listening to Busy Phillips' audiobook. So if you want more Busy Phillips in your life, you can join me in that quest. What's her book called? She's telling a lot of stories. She gets hurt a little, which is why the book is called This Will Only Hurt a Little. But she's a lot of fun. Like I really, you know, you and I have covered her in a few different shows. And of course, we're both watching Girls 5 Eva to join One Indescribable Podcast Journey in their coverage of Girls 5 Eva. So I'm definitely on the Busy Phillips train, and I'm enjoying it more than her, podcast, which no offense, I still wasn't, don't know. Maybe I would like it better in another life. Mm-hmm. But that's where I'm at with that. And if you want to listen to more coverage of me talking about Seth Rogen, PSR, I talked about Platonic, which you mentioned earlier, which mm-hmm. is a Seth Rogen show. And yeah, that's what I'm thinking. What about you? Any other final thoughts about Freaks and Geeks?
No, I same as you. I wish we had gotten a second season, but I really love the one season that we do get. And maybe they would have ruined it with the second season. You know, we don't know.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like they were heading that direction. But no, I really enjoyed it. I think that it's no surprise that all of these people go on to like mega stardom because they're all just so ridiculously talented. But yeah, other than this, you can catch us chatting about Felicity, which we're already enjoying a lot. I don't know about you, Sarah, but like this show is unhinged immediately in a way that I don't think it recognizes how unhinged it is, which is even funnier to me.
Yeah. She's a psychopath, no. But
she really is, and it's gonna be a tough turnaround for her. Like for me, you know, it's like turning a yacht in a river. Like it's gonna be a minute before I can be like rooting for whatever Felicity is up to. But check us out there, and then we're gonna have some holiday content coming up in December. You can also hear me over on Pusher Recaps if you want to give full spoiler recaps a listen. We cover full seasons of shows in one podcast. So if you're someone who likes to binge content, it should be the podcast for you. And yeah, you could find us at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram. We have a website, shit90spod.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail or send in an email, shit90spod@gmail.com is where you can do so. We greatly appreciate hearing from literally anybody. It makes our day. So, yeah. And of course, if you have any suggestions on single season shows you want us to cover also, just send those suggestions in and we'll take a look at them. But for now, I think that's everything we have. So yeah, have a good one, everybody, and we'll catch you on the next podcast. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.